Coming up in the area tomorrow, a special program here in Richland Center. Joining us from City Utilities, Scott Gall, Utility Manager, and Jim Schwingel joins us again. He is Energy Services Manager. We're going to talk about some public power, what it means, and a big event coming up tomorrow. Scott, this is something that I know you guys look forward to, about educating the public and just kind of having a celebration tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, I think this is our fifth annual. We did it the first year right at City Hall. We got really lucky. It was great weather, and we moved it to the community center, so it'll be tomorrow night, 3:30 to 6:30. We'll be cooking for you for utility customers. Just looking forward to having folks come out. Jim's going to talk about it, but just educating our customers on, you know, things they can do, improve on energy efficiencies, water, wastewater, you know, the whole utility. Some giveaways, and just it's been a really good event, and the numbers have grown annually. So,
do you cook with electricity or do you cook with gas?
We do cook with electricity.
We do.
Yeah,
All right.
You know, Craig down at the locker helps us out, and we got to keep those roasters warm of the chicken and the pork that we'll be serving tomorrow night.
Oh, so, man, good food.
Yes,
so
very
that's
good
for all of your customers.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And some things, what are some things that we can do to maybe cut back on power?
I think, you know, you see a lot of it when it's really hot as far as where we keep the thermostats, right? There's initiatives at WPPI on, and you see it within the co-op world of controlling the thermostats, but it's just keeping that, you know, up at 78, 70, you know, a lot, not 68, which I like to keep it at, but just keep it a little bit there. LEDs obviously have taken over. It's a weird industry, right? We're in the business to sell kilowatt hours, but we have Jim to help energy and save power. So that's what we're about, and that's really kicked in. LEDs in the last 5 to 10 years have taken over, and pretty much everybody's converted there. Just all those little chargers you leave plugged in, remember that they are consuming, you know, power, and unplug things that you don't use every day.
It all adds up, doesn't it?
It does. It all adds up.
I remember years ago, we had this old freezer, and we were using that and thinking that this was the greatest thing, and we unplugged it, and the bill went down like $30
yeah.
a month.
Yep. Dehumidifiers are another one, you know, but freezers, compressors, any of those kind of things will really add up over time for sure.
Some of those old ones ran forever, but they weren't quite as efficient.
Not as efficient as today, no.
Right. Good to see you, Jim. Good to have you back in the studio.
Morning, Phil.
You're here to talk about kind of what public power is, and, you know, maybe you could go over that for us again.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we've been having this event, like Scott said, for about 5 years, and this is called Public Power Week, and that's designated by the American Public Power Association. So there's about 2,000 public power utilities in the United States, and you know what we want people to understand is that those utilities, and city utilities specifically, are owned by their communities. So City of Richland Center owns city utilities, and you know, since it is owned by the city, by the people, it's a non-for-profit. So, you know, if you have a typical business, you know, your goal is profit. Well, that's not really what ours is. We have to make enough money to keep going, to pay for the infrastructure and the employees and the equipment. But, you know, in reality, our goal is customer satisfaction. And there's a few things that go into that, or lots of things, really. But, you know, we want to provide reliable energy. And to do that, you have to have a good distribution system, which city utilities has. You know, we've got linemen out there working on this stuff every day. And you want to be trustworthy. You want your customers to trust what you're doing that is in their best interest. And then, you know, ultimately, you want to keep costs affordable. And, you know, it's a really big balancing act, you know, to try and do all three of those things, but we really think that we're doing that here at City Utilities.
Everything has gone up in price. What about power? Are you seeing that? And what are some things that you can do to keep the cost down at your end?
Yeah, so electricity costs are going up. I mean, it's going up on a local level. You know, ask Scott how much a transformer costs now compared to 5 years ago. It's way different.
Five times.
More. Yeah, I mean, we've got transformers that, for our bigger customers, that it cost us $32,000 at the time, 7-8 years ago. They were quoting out just after COVID, $180,000 for the bigger transformers for the industrial loads. Just normal residential ones have went from, you know, $1,500 to $1,800 to $4,000 or $5,000, you know, just that are sitting on the back lot lines. So it's just crazy. There's, you know, limited supply. What goes into those transformers are some of the same metals that with the EV cars and batteries. So everybody's fighting over the same materials, which have drove the cost through the roof.
I see. What's the lifespan on a transformer?
You know, we've got some transformers out there from the 60s. So, you know, again, they say that some of those built years ago were built a lot different than they are today and built a lot more solid. So with what we're doing with our AMI conversion, we're actually able to, it's called a transformer loading tool, and we can see if our transformers, once we get all the data put in, if they're overloaded, you know, and what kind of, what they're doing, what the health of those transformers are. Because right now we would have to put different meters on each individual circuit to be able to tell the load that that transformer is getting. But with our conversion to AMI meters, we'll be able to pull some of that data to help understand all of our transformers out there and maybe extend the life and get more money out of them, right? Mm-hmm. And more life out of them.
Or troubleshoot, and you know, if something's going to be going bad, you can be kind of get it, nip it in the bud. So
that's right. Then. That's right.
Absolutely. Looking at some things going on tomorrow night, Jim, it's a good opportunity to meet with customers, isn't it?
Yeah. So what kind of happens is Angie Edwards from the office will be there to greet you when you come in to the community center, and she'll be handing out little punch cards. And the idea is that you go to the different booths, and we'll have several, lots of safety booths, mm-hmm. and get a stamp on your card. And then if you get enough stamps, you get a free swag bag, we'll call it. And then it will also, you'll also be put into a drawing for gift cards for local businesses.
Let's see what's in that swag bag here. Or is it supposed to be a surprise?
No, it doesn't have to be a surprise.
Isn't it like a jack-in-the-box or something coming out? Oh, there we go. Oh, nice. I'm not sure what it is yet. Oh, there we go. Look at that. It's a nice little fan.
Yeah, rechargeable fan.
Rechargeable.
So a personal fan. We also have the... what do you call that kind of bag? It's
like a little clear fanny pack to get into all the events, right?
It's waterproof, right?
It's waterproof. You got chip clips on there. And
chip clips, yeah. You could take this on the Pine River, you know, when you're kayaking.
Absolutely.
Put your stuff in there.
Absolutely.
But this fan, this is a cool prize, isn't it? That's awesome. So you're going to be giving those out tomorrow along with free lunch and everything else.
Right. And what it is, this is a customer appreciation event. So we want the customers to come out and maybe learn a little bit and have some fun and visit with their neighbors and, you know, get a chance for a couple different prizes.
And it's important if anybody has any questions, that's a good opportunity to talk, right? Face to face, isn't it?
So definitely we're, you know, this year we're really focused on safety. So we will have, Scott and his linemen will have the big safety demonstration trailer, I guess you could call it.
Yep.
And then I will have what we call Power Town, and it's a small little representation of a town with powered wires, and just to show you, and it works. It'll show you the dangers that you can have with power lines and the arcing and things like that. So it's really geared towards kids to try and show them, you know, what the dangers are out there with electricity, you know, and you know, things like looking at the power line, you can't tell if it's got voltage or not, you know, and when it does and when it doesn't, you have no idea just by looking at it. So, you know, just to treat things like that safe, you know, be safe all the time.
Do you get into schools from time to time with that?
Yeah, that's one thing that's done with it. I mean, I've been going to the primary school for the last few years, giving a demonstration, not with that, but just I think it's the third graders I've been talking to and about electricity just overall. So yeah, I mean, that's what we're here for. We want to you know, we want to share the knowledge, share the safety.
Big challenges. The last time we were here, you talked about AI and all that potential and how much power. I mean, I guess we just kind of take those kind of things for granted.
Right, right. So, you know, the planning that goes into the electrical power supply is, we're not planning short term. You know, it's long term planning. So it's really hard to change quickly. And with the AI, with the data centers, and before that it was the crypto mining, but the data centers are really what's driving the market right now. You know, we were talking about cost of power. So besides just transformers and the infrastructure costs, you know, power supply itself is going up in cost. And the reason is with these huge data center loads, you know, we have to have enough to supply for those and all of our other load at all times. We've been adding, and I say we, I mean, you know, the power industry overall has been adding renewable energy, you know, a lot of renewable energy, and it is inexpensive compared to some other sources, you know, specifically solar, a lot of wind energy. The challenges with that are many. One of them is getting that power to where it's needed, you know, so a really great wind state, Iowa, but they don't have a lot of population to use all that. So, you know, to the transmission to get that to the load centers, you know, the Chicago and, you know, east and to Wisconsin. Okay, so then that's one challenge. But keep in mind the renewable energy, you cannot count on that. Now you've got load that's adding to the system, especially the data centers, and you got to be able to serve that. So you have to have the capacity. So we talk about energy and capacity, two different things. Capacity to provide power at, you know, any time. Whenever you flip your light switch on, you expect it to be there. So the challenge is, okay, we can add a lot of renewable energy, but that doesn't necessarily help us because we can't count on that 24 hours a day. So now you're seeing power plants that are going to be built, and it's going to be something that you can count on. And typically now it's going to be natural gas. That's where everything's pushing towards. You know, there aren't coal plants being built. You know, they're phasing out of coal. In fact, a lot of the coal plants are being converted to natural gas. So the price of natural gas is more volatile than coal, and that's what can change your power bills. So, you know, we city utilities charges more in the summer than we do the rest of the year. The reason that is because it costs us more, and we want to reflect that price signal. And, you know, it's almost all based on cooling, you know, air conditioning, refrigeration. That's where the big loads come in the summertime. You know, we typically set our peaks, you know, in July, August each year. And so we reflect that price. The good news is, now we're going into October. Now our price will be dropping back. So for 8 months of the year, it's a set price. And I'm talking about WPPI's price to city utilities, which is reflected to all their customers. And then June and September, there's a bump there. And July and August, there's even a higher bump. So we're coming out of that now. Hopefully we'll see a little bit of relief on costs, but just kind of want to explain how it works.
Scott, has it been a good year in terms of weather? You haven't had severe weather to deal with as much this year?
No, you know, we've had several trees fall. That I don't know how we can get away from that. But, you know, overall, system-wise, we had one lightning strike that, you know, affected a pretty big circuit in town. But overall, you know, the guys take care of the system daily, like Jim said earlier, and we do a lot of preventative, you know, we do all of our own tree trimming and maintaining of the system, and overall, we're in really good shape.
And we're keeping our fingers crossed for the winter, no ice storms or anything like that.
We don't want any of that either.
Right.
I did have one good news that the state did pass that I wanted to share about the bill. Your bill that you'll be receiving for electric and natural gas, which we don't have, but city customers have, the sales taxes went away. So state law was passed in the last budget that there'll be no sales tax on electric sales. So a little bit of a break, you know, $4 or $5 a month, but it all adds up, right?
Every little bit counts, right?
But that'll be year-round. That's not just parts of the year. It'll be no longer. So, good news.
That is good news.
Yeah, it is good news.
We'll take time out and be back with more on The Morning Show. Scott Gauld and Jim Schwingler here on this portion. We'll be right back. We're talking about City Utilities, a special event going on tomorrow here in our community. Scott Gauld and Jim Schwingel are in with us to talk about it. Overall, Scott, you know, power is a pretty good bargain for all of us, all that we get out of it, isn't it?
You know, for the city, it's really good. As far as compared, you know, our meter charge for residents, $11, and we're at 11 cents per kilowatt hour, so very, very competitive in the market of electricity for sure. And you know, that helps our industries too and keeps them here and keeps them investing like they are.
We've talked a lot on the program. In fact, Mayor Todd was here yesterday about talking about trying to grow and the need for housing and things like that. City Utilities benefits by the more meters you have, right?
Right. And you know, I mean, I don't think a lot of people understand how we pay a tax as far as City Utilities, and it's called a pilot payment. And it's a payment in lieu of taxes. And so what our plant value, because the electric and water are PSC regulated. So between those two, so between the water and electric utility to the city of Richland Center, we pay over $500,000 a year in that payment in lieu of tax. So as our plants, our infrastructure, as you see us out there working, putting new poles, lines, water infrastructure in, those drive up our net value. And in turn, we are taxed on that, which then the city benefits. So the more meters we can get out there, the more lines, the more extensions, we become worth more. And that in turn is, again, another positive to what Mayor Todd talks about of growth. And this piece of it we really haven't talked about, or he hasn't. But I think it's important that folks understand that the money that we reinvest in drives our plant value up, which then helps the city out on the other side of it.
City Council meeting tonight, in fact, right?
There is, yeah.
And you'll be there?
I will be there.
Yep. Lots of things to talk about, no doubt. Jim Schwingel here as well. I can even get a gift card tomorrow. Well, I can't, but somebody that's in the city can get a gift card tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so that's going to be a drawing that we'll have. Just some fun things to do. So I was talking about that punch card, and if you get enough punches, you'll be put into a drawing for gift cards for local businesses that we have. And we've also got the guessing game, so a jar full of money, coins mostly. Guess really close to what it is, and you may win that as a bill credit off your city utilities bills.
Wow. For a month or for...
Yep, for the month.
For a
yep,
month.
So
okay.
one time credit.
Not annually.
Not annually. Some of those jars of money are hard to guess, though. I mean, You got to guess high.
Yeah, we had some really close guesses last year. So it's just something fun to do. And it's you're right. It's really hard to guess because, you know, people pick it up and lift it and shake it and turn it around, and you know, it's still a guess.
Yeah, a good chance to show your staff, you know, and everybody that works for City Utilities, Scott.
Yeah, right. We, you know, the water's going to be there. Steve and his crew will be there,
yep.
You know, talking about water conservation. Todd's going to be there. He gets into the wastewater part of it. We've got City Police, Billy. He asked for a table. Marty, your good friend Marty. Tourism's going to be there. The Prevention Coalition. So we've got lots of folks coming in. Potentially, it's Fire Prevention Week, so members of the department are busy, but they do have a table if we can get somebody there. So we're going to have a variety of booths for folks to see. We'll be doing that live demonstration with, you know, what the Highline with the squirrel gets in it, the hot dog that we've seen, you know. But just trying to teach, again, like Jim said, the electric safety, a lot of safety. We're going to have Randy Larson. He is the state's MUW safety director. He actually is doing a safety class at the utility tomorrow, and he's going to stick around and help out. So he lives and breathes electric safety. He actually got his start here, taught me through my journey apprenticeship at Chippewa Valley. He teacher for 30 years, and now he's been with MUW for about seven. So he's a great one to to have there. Very mm-hmm. passionate about it. So lots of good stuff going on tomorrow night.
So you're wearing a couple of hats because you mentioned it's fire prevention week as well here. And certainly from that standpoint, you know, you used to have the fireman's dance. You don't do that anymore, but you still do the fundraising.
We still do the fundraising. Letters went out, you know, always looking for safety equipment. A lot of, you know, we're out on the roadways a lot, the traffic. We were able to purchase the battery powered extrication tools. We used them last night. Can't thank Bruce and his crew down at Wagner's for having vehicles for us monthly. We're really blessed as a department to be able to, you know, go down there and train right there on the edge of town. So it's going good. Very busy. As we had talked, I think earlier in the year, we're at 186 calls right now. The springtime with how dry it was, lots of grass fires, wildfires, and I'm little concerned how dry it's getting now, what the fall's going to bring, but just appreciate, you know, all of our members. We're at like 46, and all the time that they give to respond to all these calls and training. I think they're right now, I know they're right now at a school doing fire prevention, a crew of them are. So just takes a lot of time. Just really appreciate them for everything they do for the community.
Are you nearing a record then? 186 calls? You're nearing
We were on definitely a pace of around 300, and then it kind of slowed up a little bit. But we were at just over 200 last year. So if we hit the 230 plus, it'll definitely be the most we've definitely ever responded to.
Have you been out at local schools? Because I know you normally do that.
We're there.
Week.
They're there right now.
Okay.
They are there right now. They were, I call it Dowden. I'm not into the new. I get after Brian about that, why they renamed it. But, Friday we'll be at the middle school. And actually, Electric comes along, and they have the bucket truck out there. So that's a station along with the fire prevention that we try to teach the kids. So work hand in hand with that, just trying to educate the youth on, you know, we talked about wires down lines in an accident. We actually had a lineman coming to work a year ago and a tree fell on his truck with hot lines. And he stayed in, obviously, the vehicle and waited till the power provider come and cut the power. But it just examples of, you know, to stay in your car if that ever happens. If there is a down line, don't touch it. We were at a conference last month, and Door County had them tornadoes about a month or so ago, and there were folks up on these roads, and they were out pulling primary wires off the road so they could go through. And just, you know, folks driving down the road, and the one superintendent that I was talking to, he was three cars back and seen this guy grabbing this wire and pulling it off the road, and without it tested, grounded, obviously it easily could have killed him. So just leave him alone, be patient, please, and we'll have crews there as soon as we can, and our neighbors will too. So
that motorist was very lucky.
Very, very lucky. It just blew his mind that somebody would do that. So hopefully we can get out and teach the youth that obviously you do not do that, and just wait for the right folks to make sure it is dead, grounded, and out of the way, and then you can proceed with your day.
Indeed. Jim, anything you want to add about your visit today or the visit tomorrow night?
Just excited to have everybody come out. Remember, 3:30 to 6:30, we'll have a nice meal and lots of fun things to do and lots of learning opportunities.
Yeah, and a chance to knock off some money off your bill. That's got to be
that seems to be pretty popular.
I bet that is. What's a common question somebody has for you?
A lot of times there'll be questions about solar. You know, people like to learn about solar as far as putting it on their own home, things like that, how it works. You know, that we have... you know, there's a process. You have to apply for it. The utility has to be aware of it, so that your interconnection with the utility is safe. A lot of people may not understand that when the power goes out and you have a solar system on your roof, your solar system goes out as well, because we want to interconnect those so that that power can't get back on the line, so we can get, you know, so that people are safe while they're working on the line. So, solar questions, efficiency questions, things like that.
Generators, that question probably comes up from time to time too, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's some backup generators out there, and it's the same situation. We want to have a transfer switch, basically, so that the power from the generator doesn't go back into the distribution system is what we call it, so that it's safe for the people working on it. There are a few, you don't really apply for it, but the utility really would like to know if you have one of those so that we can, prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to plug in a generator and you leave your main on your house and we're out of power, you're back feeding basically that transformer. So in Richland Center, we have 7200s on the primary side of the transformer. We're stepping it down to a usable 120 or 240. When you back feed a transformer from the low side, so if you hook your generator up, leave your main on and it back feeds that wire to the pole, you're bringing in 120 or 240. You energize the transformer, it steps it up to 7200 when our linemen are working on it. So that's the point of the transfer switch, why there's inspectors when they do these things, to make sure it safeguards. Again, we work it with our proper PPE, but we don't want to backfeed if a wire's down and somebody puts a generator on and then that wire's on the ground and then now you got a hot wire where the fuse and all of our internal safety devices have opened, but somebody then turns that on. So it's just all about safety, and that's what we're about. We use our GIS mapping, what Jim's saying. We've got that all in the trucks, so that way we know where those other alternatives of power are, generators, solar, so we can make sure that we're safeguarded when we're working on the lines in outage situations.
And clarify, I said you don't have to apply. You don't have to apply with the utility when you put a generator on. That doesn't mean you don't need permits. So definitely you'll have to have, electrical inspection, things like that.
Yeah. Are we better as homeowners, better prepared now with all the backups we have for computers and, different things of that nature, surge protectors and whatnot?
I think so. The darn squirrels in town are our biggest headache, right?
As far as
outages and things. But yeah, I think there's, plenty of safeguards out there for computers that folks definitely should use. We can't guarantee anything, but I think overall, we just continue to improve our system and try to do our best, right?
Yeah. Well, thanks for all you do. Yeah. And we know, we always kind of assume that when we have bad weather, the lights go out, that somebody's going to fix it for us. So we're glad that there are some people out there doing that. So
Yep. Appreciate
it, guys. Thanks for coming in. Good luck with your event. What are the hours again tomorrow night, Scott?
3:30 to 6:30 at the community center.
Great. Some good food, some swag, and some conversation and some fun. Scott Gall joining us, utility manager for City Utilities, and energy services manager Jim Schwingle on today's morning show.